The reading this morning is taken from John 15, verses 1 to 17. It's headed "The Vine and the Branches." I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Okay. Well, nice to see you again. From about 20 minutes ago, you've not changed, you'd be pleased to know. Today we are bringing our current series to a close. We've been considering this theme of chosen. We've considered what it is to be chosen, to be conformed to Christ, to love one another, to witness, to go, to worship, to give, to count the cost. And this morning, we are going to be focusing on being chosen with a purpose. As we end this series, my desire is that we will take time and reflect on all that has gone before us. And look at then what part we can play as individuals. Now, the background for this series has been to seek to reveal to us all that in saying yes to Jesus and becoming part of his family, we are not just consumers, but participators. So we are therefore today considering what our contribution is in the body of the church. Now, I recognise to some degree that what I'm going to be sharing this morning is aimed at those of us who would say, yeah, Jesus is in my life. I've asked him in and I'm living for him. So maybe you're thinking, well, I haven't done that. And so if you're sitting here this morning thinking, well, that's not me, please don't switch off. Please don't switch off, because I hope as you listen to what I'm going to say, potentially you might go, but that's what I want. If you're sitting here thinking, I don't know Jesus, and if you come, that's great that you're coming. So I'm really blessed to know that you are here. But if you've not made that personal commitment to Jesus yet, I want you to still listen to what I'm going to share, because even though it is aimed at people who have made that choice of following Jesus, I hope what I'm going to share will cause you to go, actually, I need that. I need that. Because I believe the purpose offered by Jesus is the most fulfilling and is a real reason to exist. You've already seen this morning, it's amazing how many things we have in the house that are just for a particular use. A really tiny ice cream scoop. A corer. You know, again, how many of you have got a bean slicer in your house? Let's have a look. One, two, there's a few of us. Some of us have. Lots of us haven't. It's like, oh, I've never. Sorry? Oh, yeah, you're the bean slicer. Just use a knife. Okay. But I like gadgets. So perhaps you'll get that in your stocking now. I see everybody's going to get a bean. Oh, I fancy getting one of those. This Christmas, Bourne's going to have a massive urge of bean slicers. So yeah, we've seen that there are many things that we have in our homes that are actually our individual. And I think you can probably think of equipment that you've got in your house that you think, I've got something at home, I was going to bring it and I decided not to. We've got something called a potato ricer. Has anybody seen one of those? Yeah, a few of us. Some of us have got them. Again, it's basically like a giant garlic press. Okay? And we got one because my daughter doesn't like lumping mashed potato. And we went to someone's house and they had one of these, and it made the smoothest mashed potato, because you basically get your potato, stick it in and crush it, and it really makes it nice and fine. So we've got one of those. So if you come to us, you'll have nice smooth mashed potato. Either that or else I'll just go and buy the microwave version from Sainsbury's or Tesco's, because that's pretty smooth as well. You buy mashed potato? Now, obviously, we all have things that we're interested in. I'm interested, a couple of things I'm interested in is golf and fishing. Okay? So there are things, even when I'm doing these hobbies, that I've got that as particular purpose. Like, when I play golf, we have one of these. It's a golf tee. The purpose of a golf tee is to lift the ball off the ground so that when you go to the beginning, what they call a tee, which is the play at the beginning of a hole, you come to a tee, and you've got a hole in front of you, which is they have a fairway. For those of you who don't know golf, there is a fairway, and there's a green. There may be bunkers, which are hazards. But you put your ball on the stand, and you stick it in the ground, and then you've got to try and hit the ball as far up the fairway as possible. So the purpose of this tee is to lift the ball off the ground to enable me, potentially, to hit it better. So that's a golf tee. And then there's these things, which is for my other hobby, which I borrowed from my brother, because he's also into fishing. And these, again, you won't really see very much. These are involved if you fish. If anybody fish here? Just my brother, right, great. And a couple of people up there. I know Chris Brown fishes, but he's not here this morning. He's in Ireland. He's in Ireland fishing, yes. Well, these, if you go coarse fishing, you need these, because if you use boilies, which are hard things that you feed the fish with, people are looking at me like, this is what? But you need these particular tools. They have a purpose So you push, that's like a drill bit. So you do like that, through the ball, and then you get this, you thread it, and you can bring the line through. There we go. And now you're thinking, that's why I don't fish. Exactly. But anyway, so there's a particular, and I think if you've got hobbies, I bet you've got particular instruments that are used for a particular purpose. So you think, just think for a moment, maybe you've got a hobby, or even within your employment, there'll be certain things that go, actually, we use that for that reason. I think it's interesting, when we think about purposes, that as we go through life, we can develop attitudes or automatic responses to situations, depending on what we are facing or dealing with. So all of a sudden, we just automatically come out with something when we don't really think we should. Or I'm dealing with this, and that's my automatic response. So the purpose is like, I'm set to a purpose. I go, oh, and that's my reaction, because I have a purpose. That's what I'm for. Oh, the thing I'm also aware of is, for many people, when we think about purpose, we can think about what defines us. What is their perceived purpose? For many of us, when we are working, that defines us. My name's Nick and I'm a minister. My name's Paul and I'm a police person. More than just a police person, but you know. It's because I'm not. Chief inspector, whatever. Yeah. You know, when we have a role in a job or that's my purpose. And the thing is, as I know from many people, from conversations, as you get older, and maybe you come out of that purpose, you then start thinking, but what's my purpose? Why do I exist? And actually, it's a question that we all ask, don't we? At points, why am I here? Or is that just me? I don't know how many of you have read the book or seen the film, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's quite an old book, an old film now. So if you're a young person, you may not go, what? But there's a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a classic. And in it, there is a question that's posed. Hopefully. Yeah. What's the meaning of life? Thank you. What's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? That is a question that is in that book. Which is rather a big thing to consider. Though this is rather, as I said, old. I think it's still relevant for today, because we are all asking, what's my purpose? Whatever age we are, we're asking, what's my purpose? Whether we're a Christian or not, we're asking that sort of question. Why do I exist? For some of us, we look for purpose in our possessions. For some of us, we look for purpose in money. In people. And lots of other things that you can probably go, yeah, actually, I know people. It's this sort of thing they have their find their purpose in. And the problem is that these sort of things don't last. Some of these things let you down. Yet this morning, as the title suggests, those who say yes to Jesus are chosen with a purpose. In thinking about this, we can think of passages, but I felt this morning's passage. Oh, too far. I thought this morning's passage, that John's words offer a picture of the vine and branches, with Jesus being the vine and we being the branches. It helps to reveal the union between Jesus and those who follow him and are called by him. It helps us see that we have a purpose. Do you know that you have a purpose? If you love Jesus, you have a purpose. Do you know that? Rubbish. Come on, if you know that, you would be, yes! So, do you believe that if you love Jesus, you have a purpose?
Yes.
Thank you, Dan. I didn't really hear voice up there, but we do. We have a purpose. You know, according to Ezekiel 15, the branches of a vine are good for two things: fruit or fuel. That's bearing or burning. We cannot manufacture fruit. Fruit comes from life. Fruit has it in it, seeds for more fruit. I've had that sold it before, I think, about the apple. And I love looking at an apple, and then you cut it and you see the seeds. And actually, if you look at those seeds, the potential in those seeds, it's not for another apple. The potential in that seed is for countless apple trees. Because from that one seed, you're going to get an apple tree with then more fruit, creating more trees, creating more trees. So living fruit produces more fruit. Something that is dead doesn't produce anything. It's cut off, thrown away. As we consider the idea of being chosen with a purpose, we can recognize what this purpose is within the words of verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus reminds his disciples that they were chosen by him. His disciples reminded, I chose you. As he walked around the beach and through the towns, oh, come, follow me. And he's done that to us. Pat is 8 plus a little bit more. At some point, Jesus chose her and she chose to follow him. And she faithfully does so. Others in this room faithfully follow Jesus because they recognize I've been chosen. It's not the other way around. This choosing is not just for privilege, but for purpose. It's not just for privilege, it's for purpose. To bear fruit. Bearing lasting fruit. Being chosen involves living a life of faithful service and obedience, knowing that God will empower us for his work through the Holy Spirit. How many of you have watched Toy Story? Yep. Okay. In Toy Story, Andy's toys are chosen and loved by him, which gives them a sense of identity purpose. How do we know that? Sorry? On his Andy. He marked them. Similarly, God has chosen us and loves us deeply. And this gives our lives meaning and direction. Just as the toys find their worth in being Andy's favourite, we find our worth in being God's chosen ones. God. He puts a seal on us. I'm owned by God. I'm owned by God. And this is what I'm saying. If you don't yet know him, you need to listen, because it is the best thing. It is the thing that gives me life, gives me direction to know that I've got God on my foot. Those of us who have chosen to live for Jesus come to the realization that we are of value and thus seek to draw upon Christ's life and example and therefore to bear fruit and glorify him. But it does require us to be obedient in his leading. As Paul shared a few weeks ago, the need to count the cost. In looking to pursue his purpose to be fruit-bearing means more than just partaking in Sunday gatherings. It's also about nailing our colours to the mast. This may mean talking to a friend about Jesus. Standing up for someone in the office when others are ridiculing them. Raising your head above the parapet. You know, we need to be considering, am I bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? As you walk your day to day, can you look and think, yeah, I've borne some fruit? As we consider this idea of being chosen for a purpose, we have another reminder offered in Peter's first letter. He reminds us, the church, that they are chosen people with a specific purpose. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood and holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And this morning we've sung a lot about using the praises, come up several times. We're called to praise him. Our purpose is to display God's glory. As I stand here, I look quite bright, don't I? There are lights shining on me. And I'm therefore reflecting that light onto you. Because all the moment, you look quite dark. You look quite dark. Now, we were, as an eldership with Paul, we were talking, and he talked about a book and a picture in it where if we love Jesus, if we know who Jesus is, we are looking at Jesus. We are therefore reflecting his glory. So those people that aren't looking at him because they haven't chosen to follow him yet are looking this direction and they are in darkness. I'm in the light because I'm looking at Jesus. The purpose for my life is to display his glory to those around me who don't yet know him. Because I'm called to bear fruit. So if you know Jesus, I pray that you would just know that you are glorifying God. And yet you should be looking at your life and say, am I glorifying God in how I act today? In the words that I have spoken. In the love I've displayed. One Peter, this verse calls believers a chosen people and outlines their identity and purpose as God's chosen ones. We are called to be this royal priesthood, holy nation, reflecting his light in the world. Being chosen means belonging to God in a unique way, tasked with proclaiming his goodness and bringing others to his light, to bear fruit. Do you like that picture? Study it for a second. Recognize anybody in there? That took me about 25 minutes to sort them out. But I managed to, I thought, it just came to me as I was doing it. I thought, oh God, that's a lovely slide. But I actually thought, actually, I'm going to put myself in there. So I'm at the back. As we consider both the John and Peter reading, Scripture reveals that any true purpose for an individual comes from knowing Jesus, revealing that a fulfilled life isn't found in money, possessions, people, or anything that the world looks to offer. It comes from knowing Jesus, as seen in John 10:10, where Jesus says that he comes so that we can have life in all its fullness. A fulfilled life comes from knowing Jesus. He gives us purpose. His disciples followed him. We see that in his accounts, in the Gospels. You see, they followed him. Many people followed him because people were thinking, here's someone who's offering me something. They're offering me purpose. I put myself in there because actually I'm doing that today. You could put yourself in that picture. If you know Jesus and you want to be more like him, then we need to be following him. Through focusing on God's word, we are in fact given an answer to the question we often ask ourselves, what purpose? What's my purpose? Why do I exist? They provide today us with an answer that no matter what the world says, be it in our exams, our exam results, or an appraisal at work, even what other people's opinions about what we are going to be, that doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus says. Our purpose is being fulfilled by following Jesus and doing what he commands, which is to bear fruit. To be fruitful and multiply. To bear fruit. I'm called to make other people aware of Jesus, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will convict them and bring them into his fold. My responsibility is to make disciples, to say, look, have you heard? Have you heard? How excited are you about Jesus? Okay. If we're excited, we had Alpha this week, and it's really good. We've got several people on it. And the video, he's a rugby player, and he was giving his sort of bit of testimony. And he said, it was really interesting. He was saying, you know, if I come and say, I go to church. Oh, yes, it's lovely, great. People are going, oh, cool. But he goes, actually, I go to church. It's this. We need to be excited. We have something worth celebrating. We have something. His name's Jesus. He is the saviour of the world. He gave himself, as we saw in that reading. He gave himself. He was willing to give himself for his friends. And we're going to be marking that around communion, around a table where we, with symbols, acknowledge what he did, not only for his friends then, but his friends now. Oh dear. Have I gone too far? Probably. Mm-hmm. That's it. What are our takeaways? What are we going to take away this morning? I think we need to be becoming more like Jesus. We need to take a moment and see how we can benefit the gathered community and bear fruit for Jesus. Because the only thing we can take to heaven when we die, the only thing we can take is other people. I can't take my money. I can't take my house. Like the Pharaoh, they would have all of these things put in there, in the pyramid with them to help them on their journey. The only thing that I can take to glory with me when I see Jesus is to say that maybe one or two others have come and have acknowledged him as Lord and Saviour. That's the only thing I can bring, I can take to heaven, is other souls who've said yes to Jesus. And not because of me, other than my obedience to at least say, introduce them to Jesus, because actually it's Jesus' responsibility to cause them to say yes. As I've shared, as followers of the way, as Christians, we need to remember that to be fruitful, we need to be participants with Jesus rather than just consumers. We're called to be participators, not just consumers. Max Lucado says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. This week, reflect on how you can embrace your identity as God's chosen and be a loyal friend. Live out the new life God has given you. And let's allow these truths to transform us and shine through our lives, impacting others. Our purpose is to see God's kingdom grow through being obedient to what he asks of us. If you have not made that choice to follow him, I pray that what I've spoken on this morning would say, yeah, actually, I need that purpose. I want that in my life because it gives me a reason to live. For so many of us, so many people in our world, in our community, they struggle. What's the purpose? Why bother? And they live in this get up, work, eat, sleep. Get up, work, eat, sleep. With Jesus as part of our daily living, we can be fulfilled. So if you have not yet accepted Jesus, I'm going to invite you right now to say yes to Jesus, because he's the best thing. He is the one who brings purpose into our lives. So if that is you, I'm not going to ask you to stand, because it's not about me knowing, it's about God knowing. But what I would say, if you do make a prayer and you make a commitment, come and find me afterwards. Because in knowing Jesus, there is a cost. Because it cost him. There is a cost, and that's being obedient to him and giving up of ourselves to him. So let's just take a moment. And if you want to pray this prayer, then repeat the lines after me. Jesus, I recognize that my life and my purpose is not as it should be. I recognize you are the one who gives purpose. That you gave your life on a cross for me. But you didn't just stay on that cross, you were buried and then rose again. Jesus, I thank you for new life. And I want that now. And I want you to be in charge of my life. Help me change and to become more like you. And to make you the purpose I live for. Amen. So if you have prayed that, I'd love to hear from you.